Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of the Pointless Exercise podcast. It's time for the Bears podcast. The primetime dominant Bears, 3-1 this year under the lights. And with me, as always, is actor comedian Mike Pusateri. And I feel bad when I introduce him as actor comedian Mike Pusateri, and that's and Mike Prasnowski.
I don't need a title.
Mike and I Pras and I are just some schlubs. We're not actors or comedians.
Yeah. Pleasure to be with you boys, as always.
I mean, I am pretty funny looking. We can go with that, but you know.
All right, I'll work on over the bye.
Yeah. Prolific podcaster, Prasnowski, yes. Maybe. So, yeah.
There we go. Triple P action.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the Bears 3-1 at primetime, and what does that make them then? 1-6? What are they? They 4-7. 4-8, probably, right?
4-8.
Yeah.
Okay, 4-8. Yeah.
So 1-7 on Sundays. Wow. Who would have thought that at the beginning of this year we'd be clamoring for the Bears to play exclusively on primetime?
Yeah, give us more. I bet you know who's not clamoring for the Bears playing on primetime? Fans of any other team.
True.
Bears ruin. Somebody retweeted that. There was a famous tweet from a few years ago. I don't remember. I should have bookmarked it so I give them credit. They said people complain about the Bears ruining their Monday night games, but I have to watch this shit every week. You only have to do it like twice a year, so it's not gonna
happen. Right.
Because it's not like they play different at night. It's the same brand of crap, just with more people watching it.
Yeah, yeah.
You just don't see it while you're watching your Steelers-Ravens game.
So, did you guys see Kevin Fishbane unearth that's the first game in Bear history that the Bears won without what was the stat?
Without scoring a touchdown?
It's not the first time they did it. Oh, he showed off all the times they'd done it. I looked at it and realized it's the first time they've scored double digits without a touchdown and won.
Wow.
Every other time was either 9-6-3 or 2. 1938 there was a 2-0 win. Ah, that's fun.
Perfect. The over-under was 3 for that one, I hope.
It was a push. It was 2.
It was a push.
Vegas, like, I think it's just anybody going to get more than one safety? No. All right, over-under is 2. We go 1.5. I guess it could have. You back then there were ties. You could have had 0.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
True.
Could have had an over-under of naught. Well,
I wonder what was that game at Wrigley, and was there some weird like ground rule safety maybe where like a ball got stuck in the ivy, and
probably it was the first time they had to fill Soldier Field with fill the Chicago Stadium with manure and play on that instead.
Mm-hmm.
They should do that again. They should do a throwback game where they go to the United Center and just play on horse shit. It'd be really on brand for them.
I was going to say, yeah.
It would be really on brand for what the United Center is like these days, yes.
Come see horse shit on horse shit. Your Chicago Bears.
What a slogan.
Shouldn't be all that negative, though. The Bears won.
They won!
Yeah.
They won. And that was a very, I imagine you guys are, well-versed in games like these from when you were a kid, like probably in the Neil Armstrong era of watching games where Bob Thomas or someone would have won the game all by himself.
To be fair, I barely remember the Neil Armstrong era.
Is that an old shot? Is that an old shot?
Dicka came in 82 when I was 9. So I
remember. Not so much an old shot of you guys, just saying like that game was like from that era.
But I do know that my first game I remember, my first Bear memory was a Neil Armstrong game because Donnie, when I had to look it up, it was, and I of course misremembered it, but we narrowed it down to a game in the Kingdome with the great me cussing out the great Bob Avellini when I was like 7 years old.
Right. There you go.
That would have been a Neil Armstrong special. But
for sure.
Ditka, I basically, my memories are really of Ditka.
Yeah. That's a good place to start. Good place to start and stop, really. You know, speaking of that, what would you have said if someone would have told you the Bears are not going to score a touchdown and Cairo Santos is going to miss a field goal and they're still going to win the game?
Did you guys see that Cairo?
What's the bet on that?
On the last drive, Cairo went over and told, I don't think you can't bother the flus. They must have told the special teams coach. He'd be good from 60. Get him within 60, and he was going to win again.
Love it. Love it.
And I believe it. He made the 55-yarder with relative ease.
No problem.
And he didn't miss the one because of length. He missed it because it was wide right. So.
Yeah.
Girth. He missed it because of girth, not length.
It was a girth.
Exactly. Girth.
Is that right? That doesn't seem right. That
seems
else.
Like a different podcast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's a really bad sign when your best player starts off the game that way, shanking a field.
Yeah. Yeah,
I just assumed that he was then on the take.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
and then, but he—if he was, he's bad at it because all he had to do was miss the last one.
Yeah, or he did like a Black Sox thing. It was like, no, I didn't pay me enough, so I'm gonna screw these guys over now.
Before I forget, did you guys? So I'm positive this is what was happening. Joe and Troy were talking about Bears management and the decisions they're going to have to make after the season. They kept showing polls, and then you saw they shot a couple of random old white-haired guys in luxury boxes.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee they were looking for George, right? And they're like, "Is this George McCaskey?" And they just showed him. That's not him. Is this him? No, that's not him either.
Oh, that's got to be right. Yeah,
you can't convince me that's not what they were doing. Like, what's he look like? I don't know. He's old. He's got a creepy mustache.
We don't know who those guys were, right? They were
no.
There must have been somebody connected with the team close.
They looked very official because they were like, they had a suit on in a box by themselves. You know, it's not part of a group. This is somebody who's intently,
yes.
They probably were Vikings people. Not.
I was going to say, don't the Vikings have like 5 different owners? Like it's a big group.
Well, if they'd shown Ziggy Wilf, you'd know him because Ziggy, his eyebrows are so thick. It looks like he has a mustache above and below, kind of like Shad Khan. Mustache above and below his nose. So he's pretty recognized. But there's a bunch of Wilfs, I think.
Yeah.
And don't Google Wilf at work. I'm sure it stands for something.
Computer got locked up.
Don't Google it in general. You might wind up with that Vasante Shenko picture from the locker room, too. I don't know if you guys remember that or not.
I don't. Wait, what was that? I don't remember that.
There was a picture from, like, Ziggy Wilf giving a speech after a Vikings win in the Vikings locker room, and you can clearly see all of Vasante Shenko.
Oh, my.
See?
Yeah.
Big Asante and Little Asante, both on display. Is that what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, there we go.
Wasn't on purpose, though, right? Not like Zeke Mowat chasing the female reporter around with his pants off. Good times.
Good times. Well, they won the game. Fields did what he needed to do. It wasn't pretty, but it wasn't always pretty, but still led him on that final drive, and he had a lot of really good plays.
Yeah, the two throws to DJ were both really nice. The first one, he had to buy himself a little time, and he made a nice throw. And the second one, he just had to hang in long enough. And the Vikings were only rushing four late, which was making Troy lose his mind.
Yeah,
right.
Because they'd been blitzing all night and it had been working. And you get to the, you need a stop, and it's like, oh, we'll just cover now.
Yeah.
Like, why would you quit what you're doing?
Yeah.
But they gave him a pocket, and he found DJ, so that was good. And then the Vikings should have probably just let him score.
Probably should have.
Right, yeah. Would have given him more time on the clock.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with Cairo. I mean, come on. He missed it. There's no way he's missing another one.
No.
You know, right. You're screwed.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they I don't know if it was by accident or not, but they handled that last drive perfectly. He kicked the field goal to go ahead with 10 seconds on the clock. Perfect.
Yeah, and both teams were out of timeouts. So
yeah, no timeouts.
So they just ran it. Just the kick team runs out. You don't get the BS. Oh, just before he kicks it, we're going to call a timeout and ice him.
You're right.
I wonder if I've always thought this. Now that that's such a common practice, if I, in a big moment, I wouldn't call the timeout. I wouldn't ice the kicker. I think the kicker is expecting it. And I think it might distract him. He starts to go through his motion. He's like, wait a minute, where's the whistle?
Wait, right,
and
right.
He shanks it. Thinking that you were going to call timeout and give him a little chance to think about it.
Yeah.
So that could be
the best way is the way Cairo did it last night. He just ran on like just like a normal fourth down. You know, not in a rush, plenty of time, set up, hit it.
Well, he said he would have been good from 60. I have it on authority he was making it from 80 in pregame.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is that Greenberg telling you that? Is he your source on this?
Yeah, he measured it. He stepped it off. And I said, John, there's lions on the field. I don't trust him. Too close to Canada. Might be metric. Yeah, that's I love it. That's another thing you get all the time, right, is the sideline reporter with the big kick coming up. He was making these comfortably from 55 in warm-ups. Yeah, on a tee with nobody else on the field.
Yeah.
Right, with nobody attempting to block it.
My joke is always like, right. Man, you should have seen the way these guys were shooting in warm-ups. They didn't miss a single layup. It was unbelievable.
Yeah. Should have seen how this guy was hitting in batting practice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do get some of that. We'll talk about that. Oh, Ian Happ was just destroying the ball in batting practice. Well, good. Maybe we can get the pitcher on the other team to throw 70 miles an hour and right down the middle. Then everything will be great.
Yeah.
That first Vikings. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Vikings drive. There was a miscatch that was a really deep pass that, to me, when I saw the replay on it, didn't really seem like that was a drop. Never saw the ball hit the ground. Were you guys surprised at all that play stood as an incomplete pass?
On the Vikings' first drive, yeah. I think we get
They didn't challenge.
They didn't challenge it. And then the Flus did challenge.
That's right, they didn't.
He did challenge one late in the game. And I think it still comes down to nobody's really sure what a catch is.
So yeah, they're still so not really sure.
Like, he's like, fuck it. This would be great if that's not a catch. I'll just throw the flag.
Yeah.
Because maybe. Although I got a 50-50 chance. They're going to say yes or no.
Maybe. Although the one that Flus challenged was like, why are you bothering? That's a dumbass challenge. Mm-hmm. That one was pretty clear. But yeah, that first one, that was weird. You would have thought they would have challenged that.
Yeah, especially, I don't think teams are aggressive enough in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time to blow a timeout, right?
Right. If you're going to blow it, blow
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Like, how often do you really need all your timeouts at the end of the half? Not that often. So that's when you should be more, like, more willing to gamble. Because you get two challenges anyway, right? Even if you blow it, you're still going to have one. It's not like you're going to go the rest of the game without a challenge.
Right.
Officiating, though, was really something last night.
Yeah. Yeah. Flags every frickin' play in the second quarter.
That unsportsmanlike conduct penalty was
amazing.
Incredible. You would think they'd be able to reverse that. Yes. I mean, he's sitting there holding right. his helmet.
The logic of... here's why I took it off. It was flopping around. It was going to poke my eyes out. Because yeah. that guy removed most of the face mask from my helmet. Yeah, and when it was... So they showed that kind of had that like the wide-angle replay of Kyler skipping down mm-hmm. the field, taking his helmet off. And I was thinking to myself, he doesn't seem like a guy who's like, look at me, I'm going to take my helmet off. So it was strange right. to me. And then the producer must have told Joe and Troy, like, we've got another shot. Just wait. Because Joe's like, we're going to find out more here in a second. And they clearly didn't know what it was. And then they get the shot of him holding it by the face. It's this ridiculous contorted thing. And they're like, yeah. Oh, yeah, that might be why. And then the John Perry comes on, their rules guy. And he's like, I think on that replay, when they went out of bounds, if that would have gone farther, we might have seen what happened. Oh, do you think you might have seen what happened?
You think we might have seen what happened?
Did you think he got hit by the injury cart later, and that's what bent the thing? Like, no, that guy who he was wrestling with on the sidelines destroyed his face mask.
And by the way, isn't there an official right in that area? Because yes. that's presumably not the same official that threw the flag for unsportsmanlike conduct, right? Doesn't he run up and go, no, hold on, he... out of bounds, the guy ripped his face
yeah.
mask.
Yeah, somebody should have seen it. And then they always talk about it, and they did have one, right? They had one. It was ended up being a big play for the Bears where it wasn't Addison. It was the other number four. It was great.
Madison? Or Powell. Powell.
Yeah, where Terrell Smith, it looked like he missed a tackle and he got like 15 more yards, but then they saw it upstairs that the guy's knee was down as Terrell was wrestling with him. And then they put it back, and then it became third and long, and the Vikings and Megan had a punt. So clearly, there's a guy watching the entire game. Shouldn't that guy have been able to buzz down and been like, yeah, you might not want to call the unsportsmanlike penalty.
Yeah, you might want to talk, have a discussion about that one.
Yeah, that's funny. It allowed me to reminisce about the only other unsportsmanlike conduct penalty in the Flus era, which is still the greatest one ever. Trenton Gill going out onto a soggy field with a towel, trying to like make a dry spot for Cairo. Like, I don't know what you
see. Season opener
it's
last
year. It's
not
a sham wow, Trenton. Ed is not going to handle that. There's 8 inches of rain today. You're probably not going to soak it up. Good effort, though. That was his first NFL game ever, and he got an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. That's the whole thing.
Just trying to be a good teammate.
Yeah, we got one of the this is progress though for the Bears, right? Mm-hmm. They got jobbed on a roughing the passer penalty because they actually had a pass rush. And that was right, Jervon Dexter used his whole body weight bullshit. It's the worst rule. That's supposed to be if you like grab the quarterback and like kind of hold him so you can ram him into the ground. Not you're running straight at him and you tackle him. Of course you're gonna fall on him.
Right.
That's called gravity, right?
Yeah. Right.
I believe that's what a tackle is. Yeah.
Yeah. So they got one of those, which was great. Hey, Montez Sweat had a sack and a half. It's got to be the first Bear to have more than one sack in a game since like Richard Dent, I think.
Yeah, probably.
What are we at the count for this season? Are we well on our way to 40?
I should look it up. We're on our way now. The turnover one, I think they might actually do it. With the four interceptions, they're like fifth in the NFL in interceptions now.
That's true.
Let's can they play the pass for not every game?
I mean, I'll say this while you look it up.
I like the stat where Montez has sacked Dobbs twice this year. they both were on different teams.
That's great.
For each of them.
Yeah.
It was Commanders, Cardinals the first time, and then Bears, then Vikings.
Yeah, week one they played each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that among all the things that the Bears have given us reason to have doubt for this season, that has paid off pretty nice dividends, the Montez Sweat trade so far.
Good. That one is good. That one is good.
Oh. Okay, so how many games left? Six?
Six. Wait, let me do the math here.
Five. Wait, they're 4-8, right?
Five.
So five, yeah.
Yeah, five.
Okay, it doesn't matter. They're going to get
6 weeks.
So they only need to get, in the last 5 weeks,
only. Yeah.
23 sacks.
See?
They just have to get three more sacks than they got all last year. They have 17.
They can do it. No problem.
Yikes.
It's just under five a game. That should be easy.
Yeah, 13 interceptions now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Jalen has three. And TJ Edwards and Tremaine Edmonds both have two. Everybody else who has one. That's a lot of guys with one interception. Tyreek Stevenson, Jaquan Brisker, Jack Sanborn, Kyler Gordon, Greg Strowman, of course. And, and who could forget Quindell Johnson? Wasn't that Mahomes?
Oh, I've already forgot.
Might have been the backup. Might have been. I think it was. I don't think it was Mahomes. I think it was in that game, though.
They pulled Chad Henne out of retirement for that game.
Who is they? Have other some other old stiff. I forget.
Yeah.
Other than subscribing to the Pointless Exercise Substack. What was Brian Poles doing there with the AirPods in his ear with the laptop? But what do we think he was doing there?
Hopefully, what I want him to be doing was I want him to be listening to the Bears radio broadcast and taking notes and giving them to Kevin Warren, going, nobody knows what the fuck is going on. Now, that might be good this year. That's probably helping us this year. But in the future, you're going to need a guy who can actually describe what's happening on the field.
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably Googling head coaching candidates 2024.
Head coach search firm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah, well, it was nice. I'm glad for the Floose that he got a division win because it looked like he might go his entire Bear career without one.
That would have been so sad.
Check another one off the list. I know Poles is getting a lot of shit for the take. I'm going to take the North and never give it back. But he didn't say when they were going to take it.
Yeah,
that's true.
He put a timeline on it. It could be 2030 before they take it. And then they won't give it back. He didn't say it was going to happen this year.
Got one game each against the Lions and Packers before the end of the season, too. So, you know, we're on our way.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like Andy predicted before the Bears-Lions game, eventually the Lions are going to turn back into the Lions. Yeah. They had a really, you know, could have easily lost that game against the Bears. Had a really bad loss against the Packers on Thanksgiving.
It made the Bears, took a little of the shine off the Bears' effort, I think.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they just suck.
Maybe they just are the Lions again.
They're the Lions again. We'll see.
Yeah.
But the Lions have a rough schedule coming up, especially with the Bears in 2 weeks.
I know they play the Vikings twice, which that's two out of the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be too rough.
Could be huge.
Josh Dobbs, I think, is that honeymoon is long.
I think it's the past.
Probably.
That's not so rough. Saints, Bears, Broncos. How about the Bears fix the Broncos?
They kind of did.
Yeah.
Vikings, Cowboys, Vikings. So Cowboys, it's a tough game. The other ones all should be winnable for the Honolulu blue, silver,
winnable. You don't see necessarily any gimmies though either. So
just the Bears,
the Bears
and the two Vikings ones. No, I think the Bears will play them tough. They got their number, unless the Lions go no huddle like they did the last, and just score 60 points instead of
What do we think was behind? You wrote about it a little bit. What was behind Getsy having a just going back to the wide receiver screen every 58 times a game?
I think the theory.
What is going on with
it? I think the theory behind it, and I think it's a bullshit theory, is if they're going to blitz on every play, then we'll catch them. We swing it out wide, and they've blitzed a guy from that side. We'll have a numerical advantage. But basically what you do when you play the way the Bears did with the constant wide receiver screens is you just allow the Vikings to blitz from the middle of the field. And no, you're not going to, the whole thing about when somebody blitzes the quarterback, the best place to go is where the blitzer was. And if you're never going to challenge the middle of the field on a short pass, then you can blitz from the middle of the field and not worry about getting burned for that. And, I mean, the other big issue I have with the wide receiver screen is that the Bears are so bad at it. Like, they don't block it.
Right.
Justin doesn't get the ball out as fast as he needs to, so that the timing is never right. You basically just get Darnell. I think it's Getsy's way of getting Darnell Mooney lit up like five times a game. Let's see how hard we get it. Him trying to block somebody or him waiting for the ball with a corner bearing down on him, trying to time it so that he can, hit him right in the ear hole as the ball gets there.
Is that what the offensive coordinator should be doing?
Like, I don't like this.
Try to get this.
All right, here's what we're going to do. Justin, run the play where we get Darnell smoked again.
Yeah.
Just for fun.
I don't know if you saw Rich Eisen's tweet. He goes, right after Eberflus threw the challenge flag, he goes, the Eberflus red flag toss was the Bears' longest attempt of the night.
Yeah, ESPN had the stat where in the third quarter, Justin was averaging less than a yard per attempt.
But three. I saw that, yeah. At least in the air. Like three air yards per attempt.
That was 0.8. It was 0.8. Or 0.8 yards.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's hard to do. Got to give him that. That's hard to do.
Yeah, and I just get back to the whole, if this whole thing is really about, all right, let's see what we got, then have him just, even, they're going to blitz, he's got to just play the position.
With Justin and me.
Yeah, because otherwise, what did you learn from last night? Nothing.
Nothing.
No.
Well, what is the end game for Flus and Getsy? Because they can't think of
Honestly, I think, thought that was their best chance. To win the game. And then they did. And that's the worst part. Now they're like, hey, see, we were right. It's like, well, hey, were you? I mean.
Were you really right? Yeah.
Because how their did whole you guys... thing was, I made this point for the conspiracy theorists who think they're out to sabotage Justin. I think if they wanted to sabotage him, what they would have done was put a lot of, like, seven-step drops in. Stuff they knew the offensive line couldn't, like, the blitzes were going to get home. And he was going to look terrible. So if your whole thing was, let's prove we need a new quarterback, that's what you would have done.
Except
I thought didn't do Justin any favors was, how is a guy supposed to get in any kind of rhythm when two out of every three passes just a swing pass to one side of the other as hard as you can throw it?
Right.
He's not. And then Justin didn't exactly cloak himself in glory when they did give him dropbacks. He was doing this staring blankly at the feet, and he did it against the Vikings the last time, too. I think that's the game that scared them into this game plan, because he was confused against the Vikings the first time. It was pretty clear. That's their whole thing. That's what Flores is trying to do. He does it to other quarterbacks, not just Justin. They come from weird places with their blitzes, and they'll blitz all the time. They don't care. Mm-hmm. And then Troy made the point that because of that, the Vikings get hit for big plays, and the Bears, by not throwing the ball down the field, weren't going to get any big plays. But I think that was – I kind of wish Troy had explained it more, because I think the Bears had one good example of how you can beat that. That was the – ironically, I think the Flus went for that 4th-and-10 on the second possession just because Cairo had missed the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
And They called the they knew they were going to get blitzed, and that was one. They knew they were going to get blitzed from the middle of the field, and they sent Moore and Mooney deep, and they had Komet block and then leak out in the middle, and there was nobody there. Those are the kinds of big plays the Vikings give up. The Vikings don't give up the 60-yard in-the-air bomb. What they give it up is when you're challenging them in the middle of the field, if you hit a spot where the guy is blitzed from, there's nobody there. That guy, you're, it's like DJ on the last play, even though that wasn't a blitz. He's all by himself. There was they blew that, and then he ended up getting 36 yards on one play. So to me, it wasn't like this should have been bombs away. This was they needed to be running intermediate routes that could turn into something big. But they only they were one or the other. It was either throw it 0 yards or try to throw it 35 yards downfield.
So why didn't they do that? I mean, why doesn't Getsy know to do that? Other than he's not very good. I mean, but you know, because the theory of, okay, we're going to run the screens because they're going to blitz. That'll give us a numerical advantage. Okay, well, after the first, you know, dozen times we tried that, it doesn't work.
Just keep like, doing it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's
I don't know.
They're constant amazement. They went from the game plan against Detroit, which I thought was really good. Like everything seemed to have a purpose. Everything accentuated what Justin could do best and what the Lions were going to struggle with. And then a week later, the game plan is just garbage.
Garbage. Total garbage.
Maybe they had like an intern do the one for Detroit. And then he had to go back. His winter break was over.
Right.
He had to go back to Valparaiso, and then Luke had to do it himself. But, I mean, I think one thing is really clear. You know, the Bears wanted to pluck somebody off of the Sean McVay, Mike Shanahan tree, and that's, you know, you've got Matt LaFleur, and so then you get Getsy as an extension of that. But with Nathaniel Hackett proving he's a fucking moron, and Getsy...
Yeah.
Don't go shopping at the Packer.
If Tree.
LaFleur clearly is the guy doing all the stuff there.
Yeah, right.
And Aaron. Rodgers was doing it.
And Rodgers, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Helps have that guy.
But hey, on the good side, we don't have to worry about somebody poaching Getsy for to be a head coach.
Well, we sure don't have to worry about that.
I also think I kind of, you know, as embarrassing as the whole Alan Williams thing was, I'm kind of glad for Flus that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because you get to see him as a defensive coordinator. He's done a really nice job with the defense. Like,
yeah,
that's they have a legitimately good defense now. And this is basically just like a reminder to the rest of the league that I'm going to get fired on January 8th. I can still be a pretty good defensive coordinator.
Wait, let me ask you this question. And I know this, I know this will never happen. I'm sure this will never happen before. But with just from my question about Flus's personality, he seems to me like the kind of guy who you could actually say to him, okay, Matt, you're not coming back as head coach, but you could stay and coach the defense.
Didn't we talk about this? Right?
Like
didn't we talk about it?
Right. Well, doesn't he seem like the type of guy who might be like, yeah, I'll do that?
Denver's
that's what I specialize in.
Denver's defensive coordinator, Vance Joseph, used to be the Denver head coach.
Mm-hmm.
He got fired like two coaches ago, and then Peyton brought him back. So
it's never gone direct, maybe in the 50s or something.
Why do
right?
I
but
feel
it's never
like,
gone
why do I feel like direct. The Bears have already done it? Like that was Hallis went to somebody and said, all right, it's not working out. Did Abe Gibron have to go back to be a position coach? Because
that was their own
that.
Head coach.
He'd be like, Abe, I got to pay you, and I don't really want to pay you to do nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they had like Rod Marinelli as defensive coordinator after he flamed out in Detroit as head coach.
But I don't think it's ever been like a direct, like you go from head coach to coordinator.
Knowing the NFL, I'm sure it has happened.
Yeah, probably in the 50s or something. Yeah. Somebody did
right.
or something. But also, you know, if you're Flus, you're probably like, as you were saying, this is my sweet spot. What I do is I'm a defensive coordinator. This Bears team actually has some good defensive players. You know, I don't, he may never even want to be a head coach again, but if he does, what's better off for him? Staying with the Bears with the defense that's got some promising talent, guys he knows, or are we waiting to see whatever, you know, shitty team hires Frank Reich and then and go be his defensive coordinator and have the worst defense in the league for 3 years while they figure everything out?
Well, and you make a good point about the personality, because what you would think is, what coach is going to want to come into a team and take the old coach to be the defensive coordinator? But I would think you'd sit down with the Flus for like 20 minutes and be like, oh shit, this will work. I mean,
yeah,
he's not going to sabotage me. And even if he did, the right. players aren't going to pay any attention to that.
Right. He's not going to go behind me to the media or bad mouthing me or anything like that. He's just going to coach the defense. That's what I need him to do.
That would be a very Bears thing.
It would be.
The only thing better would be if they, and they don't have anybody like this, if they promoted an assistant and demoted Eberflus. Like they had some hot shot on the staff already, and they're like, all right, you're going to be the head coach, and Flus is going to be your defense coordinator. What?
Yeah. True. Right, true. Although the thing that might make it more plausible is he is the defensive coordinator now because Alan Williams is in place of Alan Williams. So he is that. He's already doing that.
Yeah, you're literally just taking like some things off his plate. You're not putting anything else back on. It's like, all right, you were doing this. You're not going to do this anymore. Maybe you could do this. I got a better idea. Don't tell him that he's not the head coach. You hire a new head coach, and you tell him that's a consultant. Like, and then, you know, they have the little switch. You know, he can switch to the offense or the defense on his headset. Just make it so the offense one doesn't work. But he doesn't know what it makes the sound. It like has a little crackle, and he's over there just chatting away. You know, anyway, I think we should. we're gonna go for a fourth down. So you got two plays here to get these 4 yards. That's all right. And no one's listening to it. The real head coach is over there, and Flus keeps looking at him like, "What the fuck is that guy think he's talking to?" And Poles could even tell him, "We're pretending. He thinks he's the coach.
Yeah,
his headset's not hooked up to anything. You're the coach.
Yeah." You're the coach, Matt.
You don't have to do the press conference anymore. Oh, great. Oh, this is awesome. I love it.
Oh, cool.
And then they win the Super Bowl, and it becomes real awkward because they go to hand the trophy, but they don't hand it to Eberflus.
Fighting over it.
He's like, what are you doing? Why does he get it? He was the head coach. What? Sorry, we didn't have the heart to tell you. Good job with the defense, though. Man, fuck.
Yeah.
I like it. I think I think that can happen.
Be amazing if that did.
You could have a player coach. Cairo could be that. He's a kicker. What else does he do at kicking? And he's got to be bored.
Let him be a special teams coach.
Right. Yeah.
Let him put the little, you know, he could wear the headset and put the headset on over the helmet when he goes out to kick so he can still coach while he's on the field.
Head coach figurehead.
Well, I'm going to write this down. I was going to say I'd email it to George, but I'm going to have to telegram it to him, I would think, for him to actually see it.
Right. Carrier pigeon him.
Great idea. Stop. Make Flus think he's still coach. Stop.
Oh, this is good. Call Starkist.
What if we just fed him the mayonnaise?
Take live to the fish and feed a mayonnaise.
Right. Oh, hey, Andy, you're not far from him. How far is the drive from Sycamore?
I work in DeKalb, so next time I head down there, I'll just zip over and see where George is living.
Yeah, just go with like a cooler full of Oberweis milk and, you know, just pretend you're delivering it to him and slip a little note.
Yeah, just follow the Camry. When you get there, just follow the Camry. It'll take it right to his house.
I'll bring whole milk. Hey, George, I got the hard stuff. I know how you like it.
Whoa.
Right, I got an idea for you. Well, I don't think Kevin's going to go for this. Well, you know, remember, you're the boss. Well, what about mom? Well, that's true, but...
that's true.
You know, I go over and I'm about to chat up Vag. I'll start at the top.
Bring a buttermilk.
She go for it. Oh, he seems like a nice boy. And I want... Let's not fire him. Here was a depressing thing. So did you see the ESPN, their playoff graphic was a Christmas tree, and they had the In the Hunt ornaments. And you only needed like 5 wins to be in the hunt right now.
You got a 5-win team in first place right now.
So, I mean, the Bears are just if you looked, you know, they, I've done this before, but they it's amazing to me they've lost the Broncos. And you have a 28 unanswered points to lose that game.
Yeah.
I still think, despite the fact that, you know, I mean, I still think they would have beat Justin. They would have beat the Vikings the first time if Justin hadn't gotten hurt. They would have figured out enough. Kind of like last night, they would have figured it out, and they would have won that game. And then they collapsed against the Lions.
Right.
The Bears wouldn't even be in the hunt. They'd be on the other side of the tree. They'd just be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
They could make a run here. They still, I think it was either Eddie Jackson or Jaquan Brisker. Probably Jaquan, because every time he sneezes, he gets a concussion. Mm-hmm. But I think it was Eddie who said, you know, we got five games left. We went out. We're in the playoffs. That's what we got to think of.
That's it. So. That's where they're at.
Lions, Browns, Cardinals, Falcons, Packers. Only Cleveland and Green Bay on the road.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could. It's not going to happen. But
no, it's not going to happen. Of course not. But.
But just think how close they, and they legitimately could be 7-5 with this.
They could.
Yeah. Right.
And they're not.
And 7-5 might be first place if that one win is. Because are the Lions 8-4 right now? Or 9-3?
I feel like they're 8-4.
Right. But... So if that one, if you factor in the one win against the Lions, Bears would own the tiebreaker.
Lions are 8-3 because they've had their bye.
8-3.
Okay. So they'd be a half game back.
Yep. But with a win in hand.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So if they would win win the next one in 2 weeks, they'd have the tiebreaker on the Lions. So, Oh, well, somewhere there's an alternate universe where the flu says the Bears in first place.
Yeah.
I would, for the long-term health of the organization, the current record is probably more beneficial than them being 7-5 that way would actually be.
Without a doubt.
That would be very
Dick
Geronimo.
Yeah, it would be Geronimo.
Yeah.
To be like, oh, well, you know, they're not horrible, but there's no future there. But, hey, let's keep doing it, because why not?
Yeah.
I thought something else we could talk about, Troy. I can't think of a good content. I could have written that down, but why would I want to do that?
Were there any good guests on the Manning cast? I wasn't able to watch.
Oh, there's
that.
No man. They didn't do a Manning cast for the Bears.
No,
Manning's our short. They're like, no, fuck that. We're not doing. Have they done a Bear game? They think they did the Patriots, right? It's the only Monday night game they haven't skipped. I'm pretty sure they did the big win against the Pats, which still the biggest, the most impressive win of the Eberflus era.
Lucera, yeah.
And, yep.
You know, the Pats, it basically started them on their decline that they're still on, that's going to get Belichick retired and then onto a new team next year.
Right.
So what do we think about the how does the Frank Reich firing impact the Bears' quest to have to get a surrogate number one draft pick?
Because
last year, when they whacked Matt Rhule, they went 3-3 after that.
Right.
Hmm.
And you know who their interim coach is?
I don't.
I actually do not.
Oh, it's he was as close as the Bears have had to an interim coach in recent years. Do you remember who coached the Bears when Matt Nagy had COVID?
Bill Lazor?
No, it was special teams coordinator Chris Tabor. Remember the confused
Tabor, yes.
So he is taking over. So last year it was Steve Wilks, who did a really nice job for the Panthers, and a lot of the players still think he should have been just given the job.
Right.
And he went 3-3. I'm not so worried about Chris Tabor rallying the Panthers.
Rallying the troops, yeah. No.
for the last.
Was it only one game that he took over for Nagy when he
did?
Over?
And it's like when Andy Green would fill in for Ross, and Ross would still get the win.
yeah,
I think Tabor did win. I think the Bears won, and then Nagy got it instead.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference with the Panthers, though. That whole situation is fucked from the start.
Yeah, it might make more of a difference in terms of who's the head coach going to be, and where does Jim Harbaugh end up, and anybody else who's how does it affect that, the coaching carousel?
Sorry, I mean, usually. Yeah, distracted myself. Tabor filled in for Nagy in 2021 against the 49ers.
Okay.
That doesn't sound like a Bears win. It wasn't. 33-22.
No.
Yeah.
The only notable win I remember from that year was the one against the Bengals. That was it.
Yeah, so the Panthers... they've had six coaches in the last 5 years, if you include their interims.
Mm-hmm.
And David Tepper, who, I don't know, you think is he Lou Tepper's kid? A former Illini great head coach?
Oh, man. Yeah, got to be related.
And made billions of dollars as like a investment banker or whatever, and then said, yeah, you know, well, Dad, I'm going back to family business. I'm going to buy a football team. Probably not. He wants to get somebody big. Like they've already said he's going to call Belichick and mm-hmm. be like, "Hey, you want to come run this thing?" And Bill's going to be like, "No, I don't.
Not really.
I don't want to do that. No, sorry." He tried to get Harbaugh last time. The big name it's been connected to, and I love this. This was so Ben Johnson, not the former Canadian sprinter with the jaundiced eyes and the flunk drug test. The offensive coordinator of the Lions.
Okay.
That's the guy they think. He's from North Carolina. Which people are already connecting dots.
Mm.
Do you think that carries any weight at all?
No, I think
well,
zero.
I'm from that state.
Really.
I'd love to go coach that team.
No. Right.
No.
I can live at my mom's old house.
Yeah, I'm sure Marv Levy was really dying to come coach the Bears when he was with the Bills all those years.
Yeah.
Hey, I would coach him now. If they'd call him up. Yeah. What is he, 97? He'd do it.
That's fine. We could do worse. Well, the other thing, too, normally when you have, the worst team, at least you're like, well, at least we got the draft, the number one draft.
No, they don't have that.
You could draft a stud quarterback. Right. Start rebuilding.
Yeah, and I think, you've got to get a guy then who looks at Bryce Young and is like, mm-hmm. that's the guy I want. That's
right.
That list has got to be pretty small.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you think one day we're going to look back at that draft and the decision the Panthers made to take Bryce Young over Stroud in the same way that it was reminisced for many years about the Bears taking Trubisky over Mahomes?
Oh, I think people are already doing it.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say when they lost the coin flip for Terry Bradshaw.
That too.
I still think, the Bulls lost a coin flip for Magic Johnson. I still think David Greenwood, if you compare their careers, sneaky competitive to Magic, I think.
Mm-hmm,
I don't think
mm-hmm.
the Bulls really lost out that. Well, maybe not.
Yeah.
Yeah, coin flips. Haven't gone Chicago's way.
Nope.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder though what they were like. Not only did they value Bryce over Stroud, they valued him so much they had to get to the front of the line to get him.
Yeah,
and give up a lot. Yeah. Like,
oh man, Yes, they did.
Including the guy that he would make him much better if he was throwing to DJ Moore.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, they basically killed their – they set their franchise back 10 years with that pick.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. here's how bad it is. I was listening to somebody on The Athletic, and they're like, well, you know who would make sense for that job, considering, now the guy was prefacing it with, really good candidates are going to be leery about going to Carolina because, you know, Frank didn't get, he got 11 games and got whacked.
Yeah. Right.
And so they're like, okay, so you're going to need a coach who, you're going to want somebody who's, who's kind of proven he can coach in the NFL, but who doesn't have a lot of leverage. Well, there's a guy who coached, he was offensive coordinator for Bryce at Bama, Bill O'Brien.
Oh, there you go.
I'm like, Jesus, they're already down. It's 2 days and they're already down to Bill O'Brien on the list of best we could do.
Oh, that's sad.
Because I wanted,
I don't know,
Bears,
maybe.
So that's.
Of course, right, right. I don't know. Maybe Carolina might have Josh McDaniel written all over it, too.
Yeah, why not? Give it a shot.
Talk about a guy with no leverage. Yeah.
Yikes. Yeah, I mean, I don't. I mean, I'm acting like it's a foregone conclusion that the Flus is out. Based partially on the fact that polls, you know, publicly is still very supportive of his coach, and he should be until the day you kick his ass out the door. It doesn't do you any good to be like, you know what, he's a fucking moron, but let's see if he can turn around.
See Hoyer, Jed, by the way.
Right. Oh, Rossi's a hell of a guy. He's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, we just fired him. Wait, what?
Yeah, did you guys happen to see the news about Craig Council?
I guess it was the first kind of like public complaining was Poles complaining, and it's a valid point, that on the final Lions drive, Montez was not in the game because the Bears rotate their defensive linemen and it wasn't his turn. And you could hear Poles' head start to explode on the phone. Yeah. As in, you do that rotation to keep guys fresh for the end of the game.
Right.
You don't rest them at the end of the game. If your rotation is so like tight that you can't make an exception for that, you need to take your rotation and shove it up your ass. And if somebody make up a new one, and then Flus is like, "Well, I don't do that. I have a defensive backs coach does that." Right? It's like, no, don't, you know, no, don't do that.
Yeah.
Whenever a head coach doesn't take the blame for something, it's like it's that's kind of an IQ test. Because you're the head coach, you're going to get the blame anyway.
Right.
So you might as well take it. Right? You're going to get blamed no matter what. So if you deflect, now you're just going to get blamed for what happened and for not manning up and taking the blame for whatever happened.
Exactly.
So even if it's not your fault, it's your fault.
It is. Even if it's not, it is. Right. Buck stops here.
But yeah, maybe it's the Vikings interior line is bad. I don't know, but it was really nice to see Jervon Dexter. I thought it had several good plays. I mean, that's a very important position for the Bears, as long as they're running this version of the defense, is to have a three technique who can throw some people around, and he seemed to do that. I thought Terrell Smith played pretty well. Of course, he's back in Minnesota.
That's right.
Very comfortable. Right. I played right across the street. I love it here.
Right.
But yeah, now, I mean, it's probably a little easier to play defense when Josh Dobbs is. I was trying to think, and I'm sure it's happened because they're the Bears. But can you guys quickly, off the top of your head, think of a pass as poorly thrown as when Dobbs missed Addison? All by himself. Kyler had fallen down, and Addison is alone. And all you have to do is, if you throw it towards the hash marks, it's a touchdown. He just let him run under it. But he threw it out of bounds.
Just keep it in bounds.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Probably Mitch probably had one of those. It's maybe
probably
not that
left,
bad.
Right? Wasn't it Mitch? Which we couldn't Mitch throw. Because it was left. Wasn't that the.
Yeah, it was his left. That was the video that everyone always tweeted. Yep.
Turned out not to be true because he couldn't really throw to his right either. So, that's how Mitch proved it. He's like, I want to get out in front of this. This is bullshit. I throw just as poorly to the right as I do to the left.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, there's got to be a J1 up there that compares to it.
Yeah. J just winging it through the end zone. Look how far I threw that. That's great, Jay. That was very impressive. It's not punt, pass, and kick. They're not getting the tape measure out for that. That's just an incompletion. I hate to tell you, buddy, but that's a good one. And then, what else are they going to say? But Joe and Troy talking about how Kevin O'Connell said, really want to bring Kirk back. I just imagine the Vikings fans. Like, we know what that's like. They're like, oh, why? No, we're finally out from under this.
Right.
Go find anybody else, please.
Anybody.
And they're like, what a great guy Kirk is. He tore his Achilles, and the next day he was handing out turkeys.
Slinging hash.
It's like, well, he didn't hurt his turkey leg.
No.
Yes, of course. He's. I don't know. Did either of you watch Quarterback, that documentary on Netflix that it was him and Mahomes and Marcus Mariota? And people were like, especially like Good Morning Football, the guys on Good Morning Football are like, yeah, you watch this and you tell me you don't like Kirk. You don't think Kirk is like a really good dude. I watched it. I'm like, he's fucking weird. That's what I. And his wife is creepy and she's weird and the kids are weird. Everybody's weird. It's like it's a cult. They're in a cult. That's very clear. He does this thing where, and I wonder if it works. So he has this guy come over, and he puts this mesh cap on Kirk's head. And then it has, that's like electroshock therapy. I don't know what it is. It's supposed to, stimulate his brain activity.
Oh.
Now, number one, does it work through the hair? I think if you're really into this, you have to shave your head, right, to make this work.
I would think.
And they're going on and on about it. Kirk will do anything. It's like, no, what that is, Kirk, that's a guy who has way too much money, right? He's averaged like $25 million a year for like 8 years now. He's got money coming out of his ass, and he'll just piss it away on some junk science thing. That seems like a thing that the Cubs will have to get for the pitch lab. And Boog can go on about it. Oh, they put the brain cap on this guy, and oh my God, look at it, he's throwing 40 miles an hour faster than he used to.
Wow.
Well, I was going to say we could guess the line for next week. There is no line. Although,
there's no line.
The bye, 2.5-point favorites over the Bears.
I'll
take the bye there.
The bye, and I'm taking the over, strangely enough.
Yeah.
Bears Lions in Detroit closed at, what, 8? 8.5?
Yeah, because the Darnell Wright's own goal. Flipped it for something, right? Yeah, I had seen it get down to 7.5, and that made it 8. So,
but what was the line when it when the game started? Was it 7.5 or 8?
I think you could get 7.5 or 8, depending on where you shopped. So I think most people got 8. So he eliminated the cover. But at least he got you a push.
Mm-hmm. We're going to try to guess the line? Is that the deal?
He was just,
if we want,
just reminiscing.
Just speculate it.
Just try it, yeah.
Oh, it's remember
some
out
lines.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can bet it. Just do some early shopping.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be week 14.
Yeah.
God.
Now, DraftKings. Oh, here it is. Oh.
They actually do have it.
Yeah, they do.
Sometimes I do have it like weeks in advance like that.
All right. You guys can guess it. I got it.
I mean, it's definitely going to change between now and then, but I'll say Lions are 6.5-point favorites.
All right.
I'll say Lions 5.5.
It's 4.5.
Ooh.
4.5. Okay.
Over
okay.
Under 46.5. I think it's the highest over. Nope. Bills Chiefs is that week, 48. I wonder which will be the national game, Bills Chiefs or Bears Lions.
It's probably a tough one.
Eagles Cowboys even higher, 48.5.
Wow. That would make sense because they played a really good game last time they played.
We don't have to worry about that. We get a second Sunday in a row with Bearless, just like the playoffs.
Yeah, pretty soon we'll get all Sundays in a row.
Prepping for the playoffs.
I'm already just breaking down draft video. That's I'm grinding. I'm grinding tape, guys. We're gonna have Adam Hoge over. We're gonna grade every Bear player for the entire season.
Nice.
Still, my favorite part of the Hogan Johns podcast is when he'll say something like, "Well, I haven't graded the tape yet." Oh boy.
Okay.
I know you're a special teams coach at Carmel High School. I'm really waiting. Right. I wish you published it. Actually, they probably do. Chuggo probably does publish his. They do weird stuff for that if you pay for the subscription. Like mm-hmm. some random guy's like draft rankings. You got to see like his spreadsheet last year or something. It's like I don't know if there's a value there.
That's money well spent right there.
So I bet on Michigan, Ohio State on Saturday.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Nice.
I just assumed Michigan was going to beat the shit out of Ohio State. I'm like, you know, if they're going to win, I want to at least get some money. If I have to watch these assholes prance around, I don't like either team. So really, couldn't win, couldn't lose, because I was going to be happy that one of the two sides lost. I also found this. Maybe you guys did too if you watched the game. Because Harbaugh wasn't there, I found myself hating Ryan Day even extra. Because I think normally I would have been, oh, that guy's a dick. Oh, Harbaugh, he's a dick too. But it was like just that guy's a dick thing was focused right on Ryan Day because Harbaugh wasn't around.
Like, right. Normally you would split the vote, but there was no vote to split.
I would just be both these guys are assholes. I focused it all on him. Well, I got Michigan, Michigan minus three, and. The only reason I bet it was there was a boost, so it took the odds to something that were, you know, the payoff was something that was actually worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm watching the game, and for some reason in my mind, this is what a great bettor I am, I for some reason had 2.5 in my mind. I'm like, well, they're up 3, this is good.
Yeah.
And then it dawned on me. Michigan had a 3rd-and-8 in Ohio State territory, and I'm thinking, shit, it's 3. It's not 2.5. If they get a first down here, I'm going to push.
Yeah.
So for the only time in the whole game, I was like super invested in it. And I was like, Ohio State stopped them, and I was all excited. Then Michigan's little kicker comes out. I'm like, well, shit, he's got to make this. And he did.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm a terrible gambler, so I try not to do it all that much. Nothing better than making a bet than forgetting what the spread.
That's right. He was Jimmy the Greaseball.
It has happened to me before where I've thought I've won. Like, right. No. I go to the app and look and go, oh no, I didn't. That was 6.5. Yeah, fuck.
That's usually me. Anytime I bet an under in football, if I'm betting an under, it's usually a game I'm like not interested in enough to even watch, so I'll just assume it's going to hit.
Life's too short to bet the under. I'm going to get you a VEASAN It's Never Under Till It's Over shirt. You can wear that around.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Now
you're talking.
All right. Well, we don't have any. I mean, we went over it anyway, but we're not going to make a pick. Because how could we pick?
Nope.
We don't know. Maybe the Lions could. Who knows? Maybe Aiden Hutchinson will break both of his legs. And then that would completely change. Right. We don't want to get on the record. I know there are people who, I'm sure there are people who track our picks.
Oh, God. God
people
help
who
them.
Bet based on how we pick. I don't want to mislead anybody, so they have to wait. But they're not going to know because we're not going to do a podcast next week. So maybe we should pick the game.
I was going to say, we could pick after the game. Then we'd be
that would
nail
be
it.
Better. Let's do that.
There we go.
Let's do it. We'll see. So if you want to hear who we pick, tune in 2 Tuesdays from now, and you'll hear who we picked. And I have a feeling all 3 of us will be right.
Yeah.
Yes. Responsibly bet your entire net worth on what we say.
Well, that's great.
All right.
Well, thanks, guys.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Many of us have herpes.
It's fitting. It's got to be done with one of the best games of all time. Just unbelievable. I mean, got to congratulate the Dolan family.
I don't know. What's up yours?